that microphone ready. So we're going to start with examining visitations, also sometimes just referred to as appearances. A deceased loved one appears and sometimes communicates, usually with a grieving loved one. So the biblical basis for accepting testimony of visitations is based on what we mentioned a moment ago. Go ahead and have Jessica read Matthew 17, 1 through 5.
After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
So this was the Father's confirmation of the ministry of the Son with Moses and Elijah as eyewitnesses. And so people will grab this and say, see, Moses and Elijah were dead, and they came back, and they had this visit. Well, the problem is really one of proportionality. Most of the time when these near-death experiences, and they claim someone has come back from the dead to appear, it's ridiculous. I'm just picking out a couple examples, but I'm telling you, one of them, this guy came back and he was freaking these people out at the house where he grew up, and he didn't want them to find his coin collection he'd left. This is in a Christian book, by the way. It's not one of the, this was published by Christian publisher. And so the woman yells out, we don't want your coins. We're just here for vacation. He left and never came back. You see, that's what I'm saying is when you read these so-called, comparing that to Moses and Elijah who have come down to basically representing the law and the prophets and acknowledging the one who's come to fulfill the law and the prophets with the voice of the Father from heaven. And then you're going to compare it to all those kind of things. So there's little comparison between that and what we are typical visitations. Any visitation resulting from attempts to contact the dead are condemned in Scripture. So that's another problem, especially outside of the Christian publishing. You'll find these NDEs, and a lot of times they're people who are calling out for loved ones or trying to seek the loved ones, and they tell the stories of that loved one who's deceased coming and contacting them. And what is happening in those cases, no doubt, is either delusion or deception. And it's a devil who comes and deceives. So who's got Leviticus 20, 26, 27, Jenny?
And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
So the familiar spirit is when the spirit claims to be someone that you are familiar with, someone you have tried to contact. Today we do not execute such people, but the condemnation brings the judgment of God. And I've told this in our previous study. I've seen people who, once they get into that, usually it's a seance, but sometimes they'll go to a medium and she'll just call up the spirit of the dead person they want to contact. I've seen people who otherwise seemed like they were Christians, they were church members and everything. Once that happens, whew, off the deep end. And if that's all it takes to deceive you and get you away from the Lord, then Satan will certainly provide that for you. There's a growing acceptance of such visitations as espoused in recent books by evangelicals like this. It's a book titled Encountering Heaven and the Afterlife. It's written by a Wesleyan pastor, James Garlow, and a fellow named Keith Wall. He says this about his own experience. Quote, we were, quote, open to the possibility that such visitations happen, but fairly skeptical and suspicious. Our opinions began to change during the writing of that book as we came across plenty of research that revealed this phenomenon is quite common. One study found that 64% of bereaved people who responded had an afterlife encounter of some kind following the death of someone close, and 98% of those said the experience had given them great comfort, end quote. Now, are you supposed to base your beliefs on popularity and polls?
No.
Bible. Louder. And many there be that go in there. So you should expect that the mass majority is going to follow deception. Jesus said so. John quoted Jesus. I'm not pointing at him saying Jesus, but Jesus said so, and John just quoted him. Jesus is his boss. That's right. There really is no biblical basis for accepting visitations from deceased as anything other than illusion or deception. Now, I want to say this. I believe there are a lot of people who believe that they have seen that. And I believe most of those people are simply stressed. Some of those people were even put on medication because they were so stressed and then under the medication. Others just weren't sleeping well and they were very exhausted, and other things contribute to that. So I don't want anybody watching this to think that I'm condemning you if you claim that you've had this visitation or anything. What I'm telling you is, I don't care who you are. I don't care if it was my own wife, mother, son, whatever, whoever. It doesn't matter. You and I, every one of us, have to subject our experiences to the Word of God. And I'm telling you that your Aunt Gertrude isn't going to come back from heaven to visit you. Why do I say that? Well, number one, why would they do that? Who wants to come back after being to heaven? But no, that's number two. Number one is that the Bible just seems to indicate there's no such thing other than the very particular moments where God caused it to happen. And the only one I'm aware of is that with Elijah and Moses. So number two, out-of-body experiences, OBEs. They can occur during near-death experiences, but also when under anesthetics, otherwise unconscious, etc. Yeah, Jim?
Are there two witnesses going to be in that category also? They're not being solicited.
Right.
So.
Yeah, nobody solicited Elijah and Moses, not even Jesus. It just happened because the Father had it happen, and He had His purpose. Amen. So excluding Paul's experience that we're going to return to, there are no out-of-body experiences in Scripture. Some people try to claim that Paul had an out-of-body experience, but he went to heaven. Out-of-body experience is when a person is laying on a table, usually in surgery or in a hospital, and they have an experience where they are able to look down at themselves and see things they shouldn't see. Now, this does not mean they do not happen. I'm not saying that. But such experiences are subject to the test of Scripture. Now I'm going to place myself on the examining table here. I had an out-of-body experience. I was a little boy and I had a very high fever. And I just remember being out of my body, looking down at myself, and then floating about the house and hearing my parents and their conversation in the kitchen downstairs and all this. I explained it to a couple of people and they made fun of me. So I didn't say anything to anybody else. And I think I tried to tell Mom, but I didn't know how to explain it, and so I just dropped it. But later on, when I heard about these things, I recognized it. You say, wow, what do you do about that? Nothing. I had this, it's just an out-of-body experience, just like UFOs. If you see something flying and it's unidentified, it's a UFO. Unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it's an alien. And I had an out-of-body experience. It happened. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you the truth. It happened. What's it mean? Nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. And if anything that I experienced in that out-of-body experience contradicted the Scripture, then I'd know it was the devil. I wouldn't try to defend it. But since my mom and dad were, one of the things I heard them talk about was coffee, when then we know it was divine. So, 1 John 4:1-3, who's got that? Charles, go ahead.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
See, these near-death experiences that are coming out in recent years, almost all of them are anti-biblical and serve the purpose of the coming beast. They're all preaching a one-world religion, everybody getting along under the same, all paths lead to God and all that stuff. When visited or hearing voices, they must always be rejected when contradicting God's Word.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
And as you read these books, I don't recommend you do, but if you read of or you see TV programs about it and everything, watch how often they'll tell you. Number one, they hardly ever mention sin, hardly ever mention the cross, hardly ever mention the resurrection or Jesus Christ, never mention you need to be born again. That brings us to the third experience, the heavenly experiences. These NDEers, meaning people who experience NDEs, go to heaven or describe heavenly scenes, including a bright light, voices, deceased loved ones, etc. 2 Corinthians 12:1-2. Who's got that? Mary.
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven.
So, in this case, Paul, we believe it's Paul speaking of himself in the third person, actually went to the third heaven, which is what we refer to as heaven when we're referring to God. Notice, Paul refused to disclose details. And certainly did not contradict biblical truth. Paul didn't write a book about that experience. Didn't write a movie script about it. Didn't go on a speaking tour. He said in the text that he was in verse 4, he heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. How do you remember John in the book of Revelation was caught up? But he only told what he was allowed to tell. And there were times where he said, nope. The Lord said, don't write that. On the contrary, the mass majority of near-death experience reports claim that God or the light, as they refer to it, or others, do contradict the claims and gospel of Jesus Christ. I read this book last week. It's by a fellow named Jeffrey Long. I think he's a sincere but sincerely wrong-headed researcher. His book was called God in the Afterlife. He's had at least one or two other books before this. And he says, here is what some people wrote about their beliefs in the existence of God after their near-death experience. Now compare what you're about to hear to the Bible. Quote, this is from a person who experienced it. I know now that no matter what this life brings, it will all work out because God has it all under control. I trust that He will make everything work out for the good of everyone. Wrong. See, this is test your discernment. If you're not picking up on what's wrong on there, this is to warn you, you need to sharpen your discernment skills. Compare what you just read to what God says. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to His purpose." Not everyone. Another one. Quote, "Part of my purpose for coming back is to help other people awaken to the simple truth. We are love." Jeffrey Dahmer, Adolf Hitler, really anybody who's not saved doesn't fall under that. We are love. We are part of God and cannot ever be separated from God. End quote. Remember, the last study was all about how Eastern mysticism, we're all part of the all. All is God, God is all, etc. Polyistic pantheism. Compare that to Isaiah 59:2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That's the truth. Yes?
I was just going to say, you know, they're saying you can never be separated from God. That would not be fun for God.
Well, that's the thing, is they believe that. So they believe that everyone, no matter your sin, no matter how wicked, that's the whole yin-yang thing, and they don't believe in sin. What you call sin to another man may not be sin, so who are you to say? Don't judge. It's all intermixed. It's all together. Remember our previous study? Quote, "We've made everything so complicated, it's not possible to be separated from God, because we are all part of God. God isn't an entity, it's a living force. And it's love." It's. And that's all about Eastern mysticism. It's all that we are all God. God is in all and through all, and we are all God. And the energy force, the universe is trying to speak to you. All that stuff. Quote, "My heart opened and it felt like my soul touched the unseen Creator. I knew God exists and that we are part of everything." So this is what you'll see if you see this. Remember last week? That's what it wasn't just Yoda, the whole Star Wars, you know, philosophy is all about that. And of course, that's what Albert Einstein and a lot of other scientists believe. Everything is energy and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, this is physics. End quote. Quote, "I know that love is all there is and that God loves all of His children deeply and equally. There are no stepchildren in the family of God. We are all divine." End quote. Compare that with Jesus. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. We're not all the children of God. Everybody in this room who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ is a child of God. If you are not saved, you are not a child of God. And you turn on your stupid TV and most of the movies and most of the stupid music that's out there and they'll say, "Oh, we're all children of God. We are the world. We are the children." Unsaved people claiming to see a light and other heavenly experiences at death contradict God's Word. Unsaved people aren't going to see a light unless they're talking about the flames. Who's going to read it? Janie's got it. Luke 16:22-25.
"And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Now, I'm not saying this to be funny at all. I mean, if you are unsaved and you die, you're going to see a light. It's going to be flames. And those flames will continue till you're pulled out in front of a great white throne to be judged finally. And then you're cast into the flames of the lake of fire. That's how it works. The only thing that has changed about this that we just read, that Janie just read to us, is that now those in hell see an empty paradise when they look over across the gulf. Jesus has emptied paradise after His resurrection. This was before His resurrection. And He took them all to heaven. So now you go to hell, you don't see anything over there. There are no second chances. Amen? Trust God's Word and not stories from sinful humans. That's the big one. Hebrews 9, 27, 28. Johnny, or Stephen, yes.
For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared.
That's not right. Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verses 27, 28.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them they look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen. It's appointed to men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Only believers who are saved by the blood of Jesus will see the light when they die.
Right.
And 2 Peter 1, 16, 21, Johnny.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Did you notice that, what he's talking about? Well, we referred to very early on. Verse 17, the Mount of Transfiguration that we were talking about with Moses and Elijah. And what's he say then in verse 19? Peter says that the Word of God, right there in your lap, or on your phone, or whatever you're using, Peter says the Word of God is more sure than what he saw at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Amen.
Well, it's certainly more sure than a bunch of storytellers talking about going to heaven and back, or seeing grandma come back from the dead, or whatever it is they're telling you. So what do you do? Hey, I'm not closed-minded. Someone tells me a story like that. If it doesn't go against the Word of God, they're free to believe it. But any detail that goes against the Word of God, strike it. It's out. Because this is the more sure Word, the Word of God. And that's the bottom line to near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, visitations, any of these things you're seeing that they're becoming more and more popular in pop culture and everything. Everything's to be tested by God's Word. Here's your bumper sticker. If it flunks it, junk it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, in our next study, we're going to look at angel worship. Again, It's going to be one of those that if you listen, you're going to find out it's a lot more prevalent and it's going on all over the place. Angel worship. Let's stand, and we'll have Jenny start us off with the doxology. I'll give everybody a chance to stand. It takes this crowd a minute.